Our reading is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Thank you, Andy, for that very dramatic reading. Let's just pray. Father, we ask that you'd pour out your spirit upon Andrew as he comes to speak, and indeed upon us. Fill our hearts with joy at welcoming you at Christmas time. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's the season of the Christmas card message, isn't it? This year is being described in some of the cards as being strange, odd, like no other, challenging, difficult. And if the message had come out after yesterday, it would have been disappointing and deflating. It's really been a year of upset plans. You know, you hear people who had planned to go on holiday to see relatives in Canada for their 100th birthday were just been thrown out the window. Yesterday's message tore up part of my script for this morning, so never mind. So it's been a year of messages. And this morning, we're looking at the message that Angel Gabriel gave to Mary. But there's also a message in it for us. The passage, part of the Christmas story, is so well known that it's very easy to overlook the implications that Mary faced in having a baby conceived out of wedlock. Mary was a young teenager, probably not much older than our granddaughter Charlotte. We're told that she's pledged, it's like a form of engagement, which is quite solemn in the Jewish society. And that news would probably have meant that Joseph would have divorced her, which he nearly did, effectively divorced her. And in their culture, there was a prospect that Mary could have been stoned to death, or at the very least, she faced a life of being ostracized and of poverty. The appearance of Gabriel was understandably quite alarming. I think we'd all be a bit frightened if an angel suddenly appeared in front of us. And despite his gentle words, Mary is quite troubled. She's greatly troubled. And she's told to fear not, and that she learns that she'll be pregnant. And she's understandably curious as to how, and is met with explanation, given the example of her cousin Elizabeth and the famous line, "For nothing is impossible with God." Now, Mary embraces this challenge with saying, I am the Lord's servant. You know, it's an act of complete trust. And a few verses later in Luke's gospel, when she's visiting Elizabeth, she comes out with the words, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And this is part of what we now know as the Magnificat. But what are the messages for us? Well, you hear that Gabriel said she'll be greatly favoured. But the favour is not really what the world might expect. She didn't have any creature comforts. Instead, a very humble existence, living in a small, unimportant village in relative poverty. She faced a very uncomfortable journey in the last days of pregnancy to Bethlehem. And I suspect, I don't know for certain, but you can just imagine that there would have been tongues wagging about how that she'd had a baby so shortly after being married to Joseph. It happens today, it would have happened then. But our favour with God doesn't come from comfortable life, but instead of a relationship. The second message to remember is that when we feel we're being led by God into a new situation, vision or task, is the words, fear not, fear not. Simply obey and rejoice. Thirdly, apart from Mary's being the mother of Jesus, she is remembered for a reputation of faith. Emil Brammer once said, faith is obedience, nothing else, literally nothing at all. P.T. Forsyth wrote, faith is not something we possess, but something that possesses us. It's basically the character within us. And we could do well to follow Mary's example and trust in God about my future, your future, our futures, and realizing that his plans for us are better than what we have for our own. Fearing not, remembering not to fear, what will be given up, replaced by something better? Faith is not an act of dwelling on what we do not understand, but being faithful to the vision or task we are given. You know, it was lovely hearing Tim this morning talking about how his unexpected task he was given has become a real vision and blessing to all those he comes across. This was something he would never have dreamed of when he first took that job off. But it's so rewarding for him. It's something unexpected, but he's being faithful to it. You know, it's about committing all ourselves to God. A famous example is Jackie Pullinger. Don't know if any of you have read the book Chasing the Dragon. If you haven't, I would suggest you do. It's absolutely wonderful. I remember about 15 years ago, I was lent it on a Thursday night, and I read it into the early hours of Thursday or Friday morning. And by the early hours of Saturday morning, I'd finished it. It was just so gripping. She was 22, living a fairly comfortable middle-class life in London. And she felt a calling to go out to the Far East. And she got off the boat at Hong Kong and started working as a missionary in what was then the walled city in Kowloon, which was full of drug addicts, things like that. But her ministry didn't really get going until she really got empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it transformed her and it transformed the place. And she has some lovely quotes. The desperately poor are not going to come to us to hear the good news. We have to go to them. Now, many of those cured drug addicts are going around the world to areas which are also similarly affected in spreading the word of Jesus. This year has been somewhat unusual. We have no idea what 2021 will bring individually or collectively. I imagine we have faith in the vaccines to return our lives to a semblance of normality. but the best vaccine we can have in 2021 is faith in the Son of the Most High. And he will bring us into a real deep sense of joy and peace, which far transforms those words in the Christmas cards we often read. It's that inner peace, that inner strength, that inner joy. So my prayer for you all is to find that faith this year. I'd like to finish with a slight story about faith, which you might like. Mandy went to see her new vicar because she was worried about the health of her father, who was quite critically ill. And she asked him to come and see Bob. And the vicar went to the house. And when he turned up, Bob said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm the new vicar." He said, the vicar said, "Well, didn't your daughter say so?" "No, but weren't you expecting me?" He said, "Well, why? There's an empty chair there." "Well," he said, "I'll tell you a story." He said, "I haven't even told my daughter this. Well, I used to go to church, and I couldn't really understand it. The bit about the vicar was talking about prayer went straight over my head. And then about 4 years ago, a friend of mine said, 'Bob, it's really quite simple.' He said, 'What you do is you place a chair in front of you, and you just see and imagine that Jesus is there. And you talk to him just like you are doing to me now. And I listen and I speak back.' Do you know something? It really works. And I spend about 2 hours a day doing it." But he said, "What I don't do is let Mandy see me do it. Because if she does, she thinks I've totally lost my marbles. So I just do it when she's not around. You know what I mean?" He said, "Fine." And Vicky said, "That's absolutely wonderful." And he anointed him with oil and he prayed with Bob. And then about 2 days later, Vicky got a call from Mandy. He said, "I thought he'd let you know. My father, Bob, died yesterday afternoon." And the vicar said, "Was it a good death?" And Mandy said, "Well, he said his farewells in the morning, but I had to go out shopping for him. And when I came back, it's a little bit strange. His head was actually laying on the chair. I don't understand it." And the vicar wiped a tear from his eye. "I just wish we could all go like that. We live by faith, not by sight." Thank you.